this morning in the book of Exodus in chapter number 2. The ministry of song this morning tells us a great truth that I believe from the depths of my heart, there is nothing in comparison to a mother's love. A mother will do things that we never say. I'll say this. I think there's a special award in heaven for mothers. I know there's one for my mother. Just putting up with my sister. My mother was excited when I came along because I was such a good child. I was such a joke. Forgive me, Lord. I'm standing behind the pulpit, stretching the truth to the nth degree. There's something that I don't know that any of us will ever understand outside of being mothers. I have watched through my lifetime the difference of a mother's love. It's not too often that I don't remember some of the opening days in this building. And this morning I'm looking back about the second or third row where Pat Goodman used to sit. And Pat was about this tall both ways. And when she got saved, she got saved. We ran our buses up into Woodhaven Shores. Pat came, and I remember she was so concerned for her husband, but for her children. And not too many years after they got to coming here, Chris died. Her son, 12 years old, died in a car accident. And I remember sitting on this side as a 12-year-old pallbearer, but I don't remember a thing that was preached. I don't remember what Dad held the funeral. I don't remember what he said. I do remember that he used the 23rd Psalm. But out of everything that I remember through the whole tragedy, from me finding out to 8 12-year-old boys carrying a casket out of this building, what I do remember that day was a mother's love and a mother's heart. I've seen that over and over again. Mother's Day is what many have called a bittersweet day. There's some of us who we are privileged and we're blessed that in our hearts, mothers hold a place that no one else will ever hold, a place of honor, and we're thankful. There's others that I know that their mothers weren't godly ladies. They weren't Christian ladies. And there's been some indifference and there's been strained relationships. And I know that for some, motherhood was an accident and a child was not welcomed into life. And I know that for some ladies, it's not been possible, biologically possible, for them to have a child. And I know that some mothers we could think of this morning had no, there was just no pleasantness about them, and some were so tremendously strong. I was reading behind someone a few weeks ago, and here's the way they stated: to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very difficult. I want you to stand with us this morning in Exodus chapter 2. I preached this passage of Scripture on a Mother's Day before, not this message. And I focused that time, it's been about 8 years ago, I focused on one mother, Jochebed. You can't really put this on a church marquee, lest the public misunderstand it. But this morning we're going to study a man with two mothers. And what we want to look at is the heart of the mothers. Exodus chapter 2, beginning of verse number 1. There went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife of a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him of an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And he put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the riverbank. and his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flagons, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "He is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that they may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." Now that's a good thing, huh? And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray together. Father, help us in the moments that we have. May they be useful and beneficial in drawing our hearts and our minds to the thoughts that Christ has for us this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you would, please. True mothers, real mothers, are special people. Real mothers are ones that would like to eat a whole candy bar. Real mothers are those that would like to have their Coke without the little things floating in it. Real mothers know that their kitchen utensils are more than likely going to end up in the sandbox as toys. And real mothers know what it is to have sticky floors, filthy ovens, and happy kids. Real mothers. I want us to look this morning at two mothers that Moses had. This is a difficult situation. Let's look at it in reality in comparison to today. And the society was against children. Pharaoh had put out an order that all the Hebrew boys were to be murdered. Culture knew that. We'll do some verification through other scriptures of that in just a little while. But here are two mothers. One mother loved her child enough to let go. Imagine putting this some 3 to 5 month old child in a basket. And you've made it as protective as you can, and you've put it into the Nile. History tells us that most of the Hebrew boys who were killed were thrown into the Nile. And so she is submitting him to that which Pharaoh would have used to take his life. But by faith, she's trusting God. And she put her daughter there. And the Bible says that Moses' sister is watching out for him to see what would happen to him. And I wonder if they didn't maybe put him out there and then think, "We can retrieve him a little while. And maybe we can make it one more day." I don't know that to be true, but there's supposition to it. Maybe she was there just to see. Just to see what was going to... Maybe she was going to stay just long enough for that little basket, that little ark, to get out of sight. Or maybe she was going to run down the river and say, "Somebody has got to find it." But I say this to you this morning. Moses' mother put Moses into God's trust when she released that little ark. I'll say this from the father's standpoint, and I know it's true from the mother's standpoint. That's the hardest moment of life. The hardest moment of her life. She thought before it was difficult to be carrying in her stomach, in her womb, this little baby, and to know, not knowing what, no ultrasounds, no way to know, is this a boy or a girl? But to know that the law says, if this is a boy, when my delivery time comes, he'll be killed. And she found out that wasn't the hardest day of her life. The day of life when she brought him and delivered him into the world, that was not the most difficult day of life. Going back out onto the street and walking up and down the sidewalk and doing the things that were necessary in a community, buying the groceries and doing all the things as she's up and down. And people look at her and say, "Well, she's not pregnant anymore. We never heard anything come of this." And giving answer was hard, but it wasn't the hardest day. The hardest day was when it was beyond her realm of touch. and she had to release. It had been a different thing to sit by that riverbank and hold on to. But she released. And then God brought Pharaoh's daughter along. And Pharaoh's daughter looked at this baby and she knew that this was a Hebrew child. She knew by circumcision, this is a Hebrew child. As soon as she knows that this is a Hebrew child, she knows why he is in this basket. And she thinks, some poor mother, in a last effort to try to save the baby, has given this baby up to the current of the Nile. And the Bible said she had compassion on him and that she loved him. I want you to notice with me three things this morning that both of these mothers have in connection with each other, in common with each other. Number one, they chose to give Moses life. They chose to give Moses life. Consider the choice of Jochebed to have a baby born into the culture of death. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7 through 22 talks about the decree that Pharaoh had put out. We have the imagery of that pregnancy that I mentioned and not knowing what this child was. And then for the baby to be born, and there's nothing like the moment of birth. Philip and Becca have gone through that this week. And they took that little baby and they wrapped that baby up and they took Judah and they put that baby into Becca's arms. And she looked down and what had been carried within her, she had given life to. She had given her life, and his life becomes her life. The choice of Jochebed, and she looked at that baby, she said, oh, this is a goodly baby. Now, I will say this, I've never heard a mother look at the baby and say, this is the ugliest child I've ever seen in my life. I used to tell our church, you know, what do? Some babies are just ugly. And it was too many times that people had ugly kids. And they'd say, preacher, look, isn't my child beautiful? And I can't lie. And so I said, my, what a baby. And then I told that story and I can't use it anymore. You look at a newborn baby, a red, wrinkly, dirty little thing. I look at that baby and say, whew. But not a mother. Not a mother. Moses' mother chose to give to him life. Imagine the struggles that she had to disobey the law. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 says, by faith Moses when he was born. And it wasn't Moses' faith. He's an infant. But by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Now, it's one thing to hide a child that's a... when folks have... And I'm sure that Judah will be this way. He'll be in the auditorium. And you know what? You won't even know it. For the first few weeks. The first few months. And then, forget it. And that's why we have the nursery. Because they let you know they're here. Well, now after the first 3 months, it's become almost impossible. Because remember, guards and government would go door to door looking for the Hebrew children. You can't let him out to play as he is growing. You can't sit out in public. You can't go to the store. You can't do these things with a Hebrew baby boy. Because it surely would be his death and probably your death. But Moses' mother chose to give him life. His parents chose to give him life. How can she explain the fact that she's no longer carrying a child, but she is no longer carrying a child either? Her faith in God would not allow her to take the life of her child. Her faith in God, she was willing to trust God with the life of her child. Let me say this. This is an unusual statement. Life without Moses would have been easier. Grasp that. Life without Moses would have been easier because for 3 months, everything they did was trying to hide him away and protect him. And now it's becoming impossible. But I also want you to consider the choice of the princess. And we find it in verse 5 and 6. The daughter of Pharaoh comes to the river. She sees the ark. She sends someone to investigate. She sees that this baby is a Hebrew child. She's understanding. It's an aha moment. Oh, now I know why there's a baby in the ark in the Nile. And she had compassion on him. But now she has a choice to make. Is she going to save the life of this baby and dishonor the command of her father? Is she going to take upon herself the anger of her father? Because this is law. I step aside from the scripture this morning and tell you this. We live, today's facts is we live in a culture of death. And truthfully, the most dangerous place for a child in this day can be the womb of the mother. Do you realize this morning? I know it's not the purpose of Mother's Day, but we're proving a point of scripture. Jochebed's, Moses' mother, chose life. Pharaoh's daughter chose life. Do you realize that in the United States, there have been 60,069,971 and climbing babies murdered? Now, let me just, do you know what impact that has had on our nation? These are babies who would now be approaching adulthood. These are babies who would be generating income and tax money, paying into Social Security, who would keep the economy of the United States moving. 60 million people. I can't grasp 60 million. I know that Tom Farrell this week wrote that Regina had 8.5 million cells put into her body. And I'm like, well, a body can contain that many? So I set out on a mission to try to help me. You know that I have a simple mind. If we were looking at 60 million people, what that would be was today, if we were to take the whole population of the state of Virginia and kill them all at one time, 8 million people. So what we would have to do, for the sake of time here, I'll shorten. We'd have to take every soul living in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, and Maryland, and D.C., and Delaware, and we'd still be 3 million short. And would have to take every soul living in West Virginia and New Hampshire. Now, think of this. Out of all those states I just mentioned, if a catastrophe, if we were hit by a nuclear bomb and the souls in that strip from here as far down the coast as you can go to Miami and then back up into New Hampshire, if every soul were to die, do you think it would impact this nation? It would be heard around the world. Thank God for mothers who choose life. Well, it's one thing for Jochebed. She's the blood mother. She gave her life to Moses. Sure she should. And there's truth to that. But then Pharaoh's daughter went against her dad. She went against her nation. She went against decree. And she chose to give Moses life. Second thing I want us to see about these mothers, they chose to give Moses love. They chose to give him life, but they also chose to give him love. Both of the women that God placed in Moses' life loved him, listen now, more than they loved life itself. Jochebed was putting her life on the line. She knew if Moses was discovered, they would kill him. And it's one thing for them to kill, but she knew the punishment would be the taking of her life as well. She would leave Amram without a wife. and Miriam and others without a mother. But she is willing. She loves him more than she loved her own life. It's his birth mother. But his adoptive mother, she risked the wrath of her father. She risked who she was. She is in line, and I'm not going to trace this trail this morning, but if you were to go back and look at who she is and who her husband, who her father was and who her husband would be, who her brother was, and you tie all of those things in, she is in line for the throne. And she's putting all that she is on the line to save a life and love this child. And so we say this morning, she, just as Jochebed loved Moses beyond her own life, Pharaoh's daughter loves the child more than her own life. Why would they do this? They were motivated by the greatest motivator of all. Love. Love. You see, that's what motherhood's all about, love. Jochebed loved Moses because he was born her son. The princess loved Moses because God had put it in her heart to do so. She saw the child. Notice in our text this morning, she named the child Moses. We look at the latter portion of our text in verse number 10, and the child grew and was brought unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. There's an irony of this situation. You say, well, preacher, what's an irony? Moses becomes Pharaoh's grandson. Now, children are wonderful. Grandchildren are spectacular. I think that's because you can sugar them up and send them home. I wonder how the conversation went when Pharaoh's daughter showed her daddy. Now, historically, later on, we find that it is highly possible that Pharaoh's daughter was excommunicated, we could use. She was cast out. Later on in Moses' adult life, when Pharaoh finds out who Moses truly is. But the irony is that for all the years of Moses' training, Pharaoh was paying for it. Can you imagine when Moses stepped before Pharaoh later on in adult life? And Pharaoh's looking down his nose at Moses because now he knows who he is, but yet he sees the power of God on him. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says this, "But our God is in heaven, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." And it pleased God to put a love in Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And these two women were vastly different. But God spared Moses from certain death because these two women, first of all, gave him life and they loved him. And then on top of that, God loved the child. I was reading of a young woman who was in South Wales. And she needed to move from one village to another. And she took her infant baby with her. And between the two villages, the only way to get there was walking. And this was in the 1800s, shortly after 1863. So she began to walk. And while walking, the snow began to fall. And it got deeper and heavier. Cold really set in with her, and she never made it to her destination. When she was found because where she was going knew she was coming, and when she didn't arrive, they sent a party out looking for her. They just found this lump in the snow. And they began to dig through that, and they found that she had no coat on, and she had no scarf on, and she had no gloves on, and she was frozen to death. And as they pulled her body up off of the ground, beneath her, they found her baby. And the baby had its coat on, and it was bound, but it also had its mother's coat bound around it. And that baby lived. David Lloyd George was his name, and he grew up to be the prime minister because of a mother's love. The mother of three was asked, she had some unruly kids, and they asked her whether, if she had it to do over again, would you do this again? She said, yes, but not with the same three kids. Thank God for mothers that love their children. They gave Moses life. They gave Moses love. We finished this morning with this. They chose to give Moses leadership. His Egyptian mother gave him the best that Egypt had to give. I read for you from the book of Acts chapter 7. As Pharaoh's daughters, her work, her ministry, her love, her giving of life will be remembered forever. In Acts chapter 7, it's written, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in words and in deeds. She gave him the education, the best education that was possible or available. By virtue of being the adopted son of the daughter of Pharaoh, now Moses is in line. It wasn't God's place, it wasn't God's calling for Moses to be the Pharaoh of Egypt. It was God's purpose for Moses to deliver the people of Israel. And he could have become entangled with the hopes and dreams and the plans of success of being the Pharaoh. But he was trained for leadership. We're not going down that trail, but for years he had the training. And everything that he learned from Pharaoh's daughter, eventually he used in the purpose that God had in his life. His birth mother gave him some things that his adopted mother could not give it. And I don't know how. I don't know how long she had him. But just thinking through, I wrote a list. She had to have taught him about the true and living God. Because how else would Moses later on in his adult life know anything about God? How would it be that when he stood and the bush was burning, that he had any interest at that point of knowing who it was that was speaking to him? So in those foundation years, she teaches him about the true and living God. She must have warned him about false gods and false religions in Egypt. She must have told him stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How else would he have known his past and his history? She had to have told him the reason that the Israelites were suffering like they were under slavery, and why the laws had been written out, and why it was that as an infant baby we had to hide you. She is the one that had to have told him that. Pharaoh's daughter wasn't going to teach him these things. She had to tell him and talk to him about the promises of God to deliver the children of Israel. In Hebrews chapter 11, would you turn there quickly? Hebrews chapter number 11. Faith's Hall of Fame. These ladies both shared. They gave him life. They gave him love. They gave him leadership. What do we know from Faith's Hall of Fame? Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 24. Now we said a few moments ago, we read the verse that said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid. Now verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he is an adult, later on in life, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the line of the throne. That's not for me. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses could have been a wealthy man. A prosperous man, a man of position. But somewhere along the way, in teaching him of leadership, Jochebed, in the short time that she had him, and before she let him go, had given him principles that when he was come to maturity, he understood the value of. And then he chose, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who was invisible. He remembered God over Pharaoh. Now, if you would, in Acts chapter 7, verse 24, you can turn there, or you can follow along as I read. Acts chapter 7, verse 24. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed. In other words, he sees the Israelites, one of them being wrong, one of them being persecuted by an Egyptian, and he smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. In other words, Moses thought they recognized him as being the deliverer of Egypt, but they didn't. They see him as a madman. And he smites the Egyptian, and regardless of bringing a way of salvation to this Israelite, to this Jew who was being oppressed, when Moses comes back, they don't see him for who he is. It says, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? Now they're fighting together. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill us as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian. Now remember, Midian had been given by Pharaoh to Israel. He's a stranger there. He knows what it is to be rejected of people at this point. His mother gave him spiritual religious teaching. His adopted mother gave him the best education of the day. And the lessons Moses learned from his mother set the very course of his life. More than anything that we can give our children, and even though sometimes it seems it's in a short time, and that's all Jochebed had him, I'm reminded when I think of her, the brevity of her having influence over Moses, I'm reminded of the New Testament verse, redeeming the time. Value the time. More than anything else in our lives that we can give our children, it's an understanding of God. And though her time was short, she did that. But notice this. God used both of these mothers to make Moses into what he desired for him to be. Jochebed could not give to Moses the education that Pharaoh's daughter could give. And late in his life, in his ministry years, he needed that education. He needed to know the movings of government. He needed to know the history of Egypt. He needed to know the expectations. He needed to understand Pharaoh. He needed to be able to, listen, who else is going to be able to walk in front of Pharaoh? His grandson can. And God used two women to give Moses life, to give Moses love, and to give Moses leadership. Then finish with picturing this, if you would. Moses is standing on the shoreline of the Red Sea, and he's listening to 2 million people fuss at him already. And he sees nowhere else to turn. All of Grandpa's soldiers are coming. And he hears the chariots rattling. And his mind thinks back to the things that he's been taught. And Moses lifts his rod, and the Red Sea parts. And Israel walks through the Red Sea on dry ground. Once they're safely on the other side, the Red Sea returns with all of its vengeance, and Egypt is destroyed. All at the hand of Moses, who was at the hand of two mothers. I say that to say this today. Moms, every one of you in this room, you hold in your relationship as mothers what I believe is the most powerful position in all of the world. Don't let the moments pass by. Let's bow together, please.